We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now for Laird and Fitzy, Ken Laird and Nick Fitzy Stevens, right here on EEI.
Mike Reese of ESPN will join us momentarily here on the Laird and Fitzy Spectacular. What a week it was for the Patriots. Started out, was the Cannon was first to opt out? Who was the first guy to opt out? Who was patient zero for the Patriots?
The first opt out for the Pats?
Was it the Monday night we got word of Cannon and Vitaly? I think it was
Vitaly was first.
Which, by the way, have we ever found out why the fullback opted out?
It's a young kid. Baby.
Oh, he does too?
He's a baby too.
So how many of them have babies?
I think all of them.
All of them have young kids?
Okay, Vitaly just had a baby. Marquise Lee, as we found out thanks to Mike Reese, who's joining us momentarily on the Harbor One Hotline, baby. Dont'a Hightower, new father. Patrick Chung, expecting a baby. Marcus Cannon, now he's pre-existing condition with the non-Hodgkin's lymphoma recovery. And the other opt-outs, Brandon Bolden. I'm not sure. Bolden, I was never really sure of. I think he might be a new father as well.
All right, well, Reese can let us know the answer to that question. Hi, Mike, how are you?
What's happening, guys?
Appreciate it on a Saturday. Thanks for making time for us.
Always great to be with you. No shortage of things to talk about. I hope everyone's doing well.
Yeah.
Listeners are healthy, and we're grinding through it.
I know, and kudos to you for yet another report on the Marquise Lee stuff today. We were just talking about the common threads between all seven of these now Patriots who have opted out. How many of them have young kids? What are the other common threads between them all?
So we have seven total, and I would say the way I break it down is four of them were probably locks to make the team. So I think when people see the number seven, they say, what's going on there? I look at it like Marquise Lee, Danny Vitale, and Najee Turan. I mean, those three probably were going to be on the bubble, if not on the other side, right? So the four, Dont'a Hightower, he talked about the baby just born July 16th. Patrick Chung, same situation, baby on the way. Son already there, has some asthma issues that he wants to be careful of. And his dad's 75, and he wants to be careful there. And then the medical would be Marcus Cannon. You just mentioned the non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And Brandon Bolden has a past medical condition that puts him in a higher risk category for the COVID.
Interesting. I mean, so in terms of Lee, as you say, he was not a lock to make the team, but there was a sort of a thought that maybe Belichick had told the guys, hey, if you're going to opt out, let us know sooner rather than later. Lee obviously is a little bit later than the others. Is there a thought that there could still be more, or how about the timing of all these?
So, well, the players still have time to opt out, so I guess you always have to leave the door open because, you know, if someone is still sort of on the fence and they're going through the COVID testing and then they decide, like, you know what, I don't think I have it in me, I guess, you know, the door's still open for more to opt out. I asked Marquise this morning when I talked to him, how sudden was this for you? Did you start going through the testing? And he said he's been up here in Boston for the last couple weeks, so he was sort of ready to go through this. He was settled in. And I think just as it got closer, he just sort of had all these discussions with family and just felt like, hey, what I thought I was ready to do a couple weeks ago, just don't feel comfortable with it. So I guess we have to leave the door open that could happen with someone else. But I would think we're probably close to the end of seeing any more opt-outs.
Mike, before I get to my first question, or the next question, rather, I just need to take a moment to make sure that I remind everyone how happy I was yesterday on Twitter and when I was listening to the Zoom call that you were the guy who took the Subway sandwich sword and asked Belichick about that first. It needed
the sword,
to be done.
He got the most national attention of anybody.
That was fantastic. That was absolutely fantastic. Were you nervous at all when you were going to ask about the sandwich question that you were just going to get? Because he gave a jovial 1 minute response to you.
Well, I you make me laugh. I'm happy you asked the question because I think it's interesting to me how the way reporters sort of are doing their job is more of a story these days. I think people are interested in why do you ask this question, or like I would say, Fitzy, not all the feedback was great on the social media. Some saying how could the second question you ask Bill Belichick be about a sandwich? And I would just like to explain that like these video conferences, well, they're transactional in nature. You mm-hmm. ask a question hoping to get an answer back of substance and value. There's also a relationship aspect to it too, and a lot of the reporters have covered Bill Belichick for many years, and it's sort of a fun way to put the subject in a level of comfort as we're going through this transactional experience. And so that's why I started with the question, just sort of to lighten things, and then obviously got to more pressing football questions like Cam Newton right after that.
Yeah,
but that's a gamble sometimes, right, Mike? Because sometimes you try to lighten it with Belichick and he gives you nothing, right? And it makes it worse.
You know, it's interesting that you say the gamble, because when he started to answer, I thought to myself, did I just make a huge mistake that he might talk about a sandwich for 10 minutes and I might not get a Cam Newton question in? And I would really have felt the heat on that one, right? And or it could go the other direction where, like you said, he might say, yeah, thanks, but no thanks, and then you're sort of left holding the bag, right?
Right.
Yeah, Jesus Christ, Mike, that's the first question you're going to come at me with after all. I see, Mike, I thought, first of all, you gave us two drops for the ages that we're going to be using on the morning show and all over EEI all football season long with Everybody Loves Sandwiches. And the fact that he made up a sandwich called the Super Duper, there's nothing on the Subway menu called the Super Duper. But Subway has to immediately be creating a sandwich called the Super Duper and find out what Belichick wants on it. And also, like, as someone who obviously tries and sometimes is happy when he succeeds and fails continuously, just trying to keep things lighthearted, I appreciated that. And I know how ice cold and how stoic in nature these Zooms can be because of the delay and the lag in the transmission. So it worked. And you know, don't, as they say, like, don't listen to the haters. Don't check your mentions, all right?
Well, you know, I listen to them, but I also put it in its context. If people are interested in how we go about our mm-hmm. jobs and why we make those decisions, I think it's a fun topic to discuss.
Absolutely. Now, back to the football matters. A couple days ago, I think Zach Cox from Nesson had put out a piece about how he believed Matthew Slater deciding to opt in could have potentially saved or prevented further opt-outs. Now, obviously, we've had Marquise Lee since then, but I believe the thinking was there were some other veterans who could have been on the fence, and maybe Matthew Slater deciding to play the season out helped. And then Mike Giardi quote-tweeted it and just flat-out said, yes. So do you believe that Matthew Slater may have stemmed the tide of perhaps the McCourties or other significant pieces of the Patriot puzzle in 2020 from opting out?
You know, that's a hard one to answer. I guess what I'll just say what I know on that is I think Matthew's history with asthma is well documented. Like if you were to do a search into, you know, articles in the past about Matthew Slater, the fact he's had asthma and has overcome it is public knowledge. And so it wouldn't surprise me, just sort of putting two and two together, that as he was considering whether to play this season, if that was sort of at the root of his decision-making process. And so I don't know if the fact he decided to play, like when it's worded the way that it was worded, it makes it sound like because he's deciding to play, others feel like it's now safe to do the same thing. Like, I don't know if I would maybe look at it from that perspective as much as an individual choice based on his own history and what puts him at potential increased risk based on his medical situation.
Hey, Mike, just getting some breaking news now. Would love your quick reaction to the Jets have had a big-time opt-out. C.J. Mosley is not going to play. And he's the guy, of course, who signed that big five-year, $85 million deal in March of 2019.
Wow.
So he is out due to family health concerns. How big of a deal is that for the Jets?
Well, I think for the Jets, I look at it and say that's a team that's probably a couple years away after trading Jamal Adams. And so while that's going to hurt him in the short term, when you really look at their prospects for this year as it is, like, they're probably the fourth of four teams right now in the AFC East. So to me, while it's certainly notable, a big name, I don't think it really, to me, changes how I will sort of view their hopes for this season.
Where are the McCourties, Mike? Have you talked to them? Are they in for sure or unclear as to where they are right now?
Well, I think they're in, and I'll tell you why. I mean, just in full transparency, every Sunday night this offseason, I've sort of made it an appointment listen to their podcast. They do a great job. They're hosting their own podcast. This Double Coverage is what they call it. And they basically said on Sunday night, guys, that this is going to be our last podcast for a while. You know, training camp is starting. We're going to start going in for testing. And one of the recent podcasts, Jason McCourty, had said, look, you know, it would be hard for me to opt out because at this stage of my career, if I do that, it might mean that my career's over. You know, the idea that it would be hard for him to come back next year at age 33, at that point in his career. So just based on what they have said publicly in their podcast, I would think that they're in unless something has changed since they said those words on the podcast.
Now, Mike, with these opt-outs this week and concerns over needing to keep, you know, a pretty lengthy depth chart and also a directory of players that you may have to call up depending on injuries, COVID, et cetera, this fall, do you think the Patriots will try to fill out the 80-man and subsequently the 53-man roster plus 16-person taxi squad internally? Or could you see them maybe, with all this newfound cap space, taking a dip into the abundant, if I dare say, free agent pool?
Oof. I mean, can I give you my favorite Bill Belichick line? Is that my crystal ball is a little cloudy, right? I think he used that the other day.
Oh, yeah.
That's a tough one. I mean, I think it's probably more likely to be internal just based on a couple things. They have the abundant cap space that you mentioned, but you also have to factor in that the reason they have it is that it's now been pushed in a lot of ways to next year. Like the contracts of Hightower and Cannon and Chung, like those don't like just go away and you don't just magically have cap space. It now goes on to next year's cap, which might actually be lower than this year's cap. And so I think there's got to be a planning thought here of like not just this year, but 2 years, because you can roll over unused space into next year. So my thought would be it's probably a little more conservative in nature, that the idea of going out and making a big splash free agent signing with the new space would probably be less likely than sort of internal, more conservative options. And think about this, guys. Like, they're going to start this process of after the testing of starting strength and conditioning and then practices. Like, if you want to bring someone in, like, they're already behind, and then they have to go through their whole testing. And so, you know, that's not an easy, it's not as easy as it used to be. Hey, let's bring a guy in for a workout, sign him, he's on the field the next day. So a lot of different dynamics in play to consider on that one.
We're talking to the fantastic Mike Reese from ESPN here on Laird and Fitzy on the Harbor One Hotline. A couple more for me, Mike. Number one, Cam Newton, you mentioned. I think there were three questions or so to Belichick yesterday. What did you glean, if anything, from those answers from Bill about Cam?
Well, so I think it's what you would have expected to hear. He's not going to come out and name him the starting quarterback. I think, you know, he probably never even came out and never named Tom the starting quarterback over the last 18 years, but we all knew and assumed that he would be the guy. But what stood out to me from what he said was, like, it's just like any other position. So he's like, look, I'm not going to make this about the quarterbacks. I know you're going to ask the question, but I'm going to lump it in with every other position. I do think that that is significant in the sense of, if you're Cam Newton and you're hearing that, think about it from his perspective. He wears number one. He was a former number one overall pick. He's always been the guy. Like, it's just a reminder to him, I feel like, and it's saying it publicly, that anything you get here in New England, you're going to have to earn it. And I thought that was the most significant thing that Belichick said throughout the video conference.
Yeah, I thought that was significant, too, but at the same time, it didn't surprise me. Christian Fourier had said a few weeks back that he wouldn't be surprised if, even if Belichick is thrilled that he got him on such a cheap deal and that he is enamored of his talents and what Cam can do if he's healthy this year, that he would start to do those Belichick games with him. So to me, it's almost like Cam Newton, though he wears number one and does the Superman routine and everyone's excited about all after watching all the hype videos, I have to feel like he signed up for this. He has to know that part of being on the Patriots is having a relationship with Belichick where he's going to play some games with you. I mean, wouldn't it almost throw him off? It was like, oh boy, we can't wait. Cam's the man. Man, I get so hyped when I watch his IG videos. Man, it's a real super duper every time.
That would be out of character, yeah. Right? I think everything you said, right on the money. I would just add that sometimes when players sign with the Patriots, they think, like, oh, yeah, I can accept that. You got to earn it, all that stuff. And they think it's going to be a good thing. And then they get here, and when they live it, they realize, oh, this might be a little harder than I thought. And I think about players like Chad Ochocinco, you know, along those lines. And there's others, you know, that we can pick from past years that fall into that category. So I think I just look at it like it's sort of the first foray into, like, all right, like, let's see how Cam responds to just this being public and this being the way Belichick operates. And most likely he's going to respond well. I just think it's sort of an interesting sort of reminder to him of the way they do things in New England.
Last one from me, Mike. With the opt-outs and camp opportunities in this most unique and unusual preseason, who seizes these opportunities? Now, there's an maybe Marquise Lee made it as the number four receiver. Who do you think jumps in there? And now, with an opening at right tackle, who do you see jumping in and taking that?
So in general, I would say the opt-outs to me, and I just focus on the top four guys, the Hightower, Chung, Cannon, and really Bolden. I think it's about the young players that they've drafted guys at each of those spots over the last few years with fairly high picks that they're hoping will become the next guys. Now they need to accelerate that timeline. So for Hightower, like Jawan Bentley, third-year guy, like can he step in? The two rookie linebackers from this year, they might need a little more from them than they were planning on in their rookie seasons. And then at right tackle, Yadni Kajust is a third-round pick from last year, didn't play last year due to injury, but that's a third-round pick. Like, can he be your starting right tackle? So, and at receiver, you know, to me, it still comes back to N'Keal Harry using a late first-round pick last year on him. You got Edelman, you have Sanu, and, like, you still need Harry. That was going to be the case whether Marquise Lee was here or not. To me, that would be a big storyline at that position.
All right, last one, Mike. The Steve and Brian Belichick coaching staff assignments, they obviously, you know, get attention outside the Patriots world. How big of a deal are these assignments to the players? How do you think they're doing as coaches, and how do the guys respond to them?
Meaning that like a Belichick is a position coach,
yeah,
and
yeah,
like it's the same name as the head coach.
Correct. I mean, yes.
I think the background that both Belichicks have with players that goes beyond like the time with the Patriots. Like Steve Belichick and the McCourties go back to Rutgers together. So I think there's respect like mutually between them, and because the McCourties are such leaders in the locker room, that sets a tone for everyone else. And those guys, like, they have the name, and I think some people might look at the titles and say, oh, you know, that must be nice to have your dad as a head coach to have that type of opportunity. Like, if you're in that building or talk to people in the building, like, Steve Belichick and Brian Belichick work like dogs. Like, and they've done, like, the grunt work. So I know the perception of it is one thing, but like the reality for those that explain it to you that are in the building will tell you like almost no one works harder than those guys. So there's a lot of respect for them.
Well, thanks for the visit, Mike. I know you're going to have a few days off here from basically now until, well, the season finishes, whenever that is. So, you know, if this was one and you gave us a piece of that, we really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, guys. Have a great day and look forward to the next time.
Alrighty. You too. Thanks, Mike.
Great. Mike Reese on the Harbor One Hotline from ESPN. And the Mosley news coming in. Whew.
That's a big one.
Can I get a little praise for the July 20th prediction that 30 or 40 NFL opt-outs were coming in several big names?
We've hit 30 already, right?
Yep, we're over 30. And Hightower's
not even
official.
I told you fake news on the Greg Hill show. Look what they're doing, making allies of the two of us now.
Right. And Mosley, you know, of course, Jamal Adams got traded. So between Adams and Mosley, the heart of their defense is gone.
Gutted. Leonard Williams, long gone. Sheldon Richardson, long gone. C.J. Mosley, five-year, $85 million deal, will have played but two games for the New York Jetropolitans by the end of the 2020 season. Best member of their secondary, Jamal Adams, arguably best safety in football, gone. Now, they do get two first-round draft picks. And they get a starting safety back from Seattle.
That's true. Low first, as you pointed out.
Yeah, low, they're basically seconds because I think Seattle will be in heavy competition for Super Bowl appearances the next couple of years. The Jets are Dunsky, so now it's a three-team race.
There's two wins for the Patriots.
Two wins for everybody
in the division.
Cakewalk. Cakewalk.
But I got to say the Bills, they are the favorite right now. It's not even after a week of Hightower, Chung, and Cannon.
And they only lost Star Lotulelei. Yeah, I think... Bills might be pulling back. I'd be curious. Do most Patriots fans think that this week returns the Bills or places the Bills as firmly planted favorites in the AFC East?
Good question. Would love to hear from folks to weigh in on that. 617-779-7937. Also, in the baseball world, we've had, I believe, three players opt out today, including Lorenzo Cain of the Brewers, who decided enough is enough, and he is tapping out. So that news at this hour. There are six teams in baseball who will not be playing tonight. The Reds game has been postponed. Doubleheaders, I think that's rain-related.
Mm-hmm.
So, two by rain, six by COVID. Six teams out by COVID.
That's how Paul Revere said it, right? When he came to this country, Nick?
Two if by rain, six if by COVID. All right, do you want to go from the most respected member of the media in town, Mike Reese, to the least respected caller in the city of Boston, Jake in Boston?
Mike is like an Aperol Spritz. He's like a shandy. He's just a light, refreshing, informative, fulfilling. And now Jake from Boston.
It was suggested we put Jake on a 30-second pitch clock, and just drop him after 30.
Or if
Scott and Weymouth treatment.
It's too vitriolic.
Okay.
All right. So Jake. Hello, Jake. Jake. Be nice.
I hear you. Listen, you guys just had Mike Reese on, and Laird. You got the Brian and Stephen Belichick question. There was no follow-up, and it was a softball question.
Well, Mike's Brian, not going to – what's Mike going to say about the Belichicks? He's not going to rip the Belichicks.
What do you – what did
you have to know the interviewee.
Show me on the doll where the Belichicks touched you.
No one on that call yesterday, despite the fact that we've spent the last 2 hours talking about all players pulling out, no one asked about Stephen Belichick, who's got a second child due in November.
That's a legit criticism of the media. I agree with
that. No one contrasted the seven players now who have stepped aside and asked the grandfather of said child what he thinks about his kid potentially endangering that child by going to work in November. So that's a pretty important question. Wouldn't you agree, boys? Much more important than a Subway commercial, and Mike Reese, per Mike Reese, didn't ask it.
I like the Subway question had to be asked. Come on. That's a major
lighthearted, Jake.
Not
unlike your calls, it was lighthearted. It was a nice way to begin
it's Bill
things.
Bill the Shill. It's totally out of character for Bill.
So
everybody wants to know.
Work at Barstool Sports and not for the Boston Globe.
Oh, for God's sake. I agree with you on the first point, but the second point.
If Mark Kingsley and Dante Hightower are sitting out because of newborns, and Steven doesn't care enough to do the same, are we calling, is that not a question?
Is Steve Belichick, Jake, hold on. Jake, hold your angry horses for a second. Is Steve Belichick making contact with the players, or is Steve Belichick a coach?
Oh, he might be tier three.
Yeah. Can he actually stand on the sidelines and distance himself? Can he wear a mask? Is he putting on pads and a helmet? Is he going to be sweating, bumping, and grinding with the guys? I mean, come on. Be real here, guy.
Well, I watched the final drive of the last regular season game against Miami. It seems like his defenders took that advice to heart because they certainly weren't pressing against Miami on that final drive.
You just bought yourself another 15 seconds with that line. Yes, I was there for that. It was a horror show.
And listen, on to the McCourty twins. Don't you get the sense, because we're hearing the same interviews, by the way. Don't you get the sense the McCourtys aren't there mentally? They're only there. They're only there. They're only still in this game at this point for their platform and their social justice. They're going to quit after the election. They're going to quit. So just take them off the field now. And it gets me back to the bigger question. Would you rather have the greatest quarterback of all time or give the extension to Patrick Chung, who's quit, the McCourty twins, who are not going to be in it, and Dante Hightower, who should have been cut anyways because that's a massive cap number to begin with? Would you rather have Tom Brady, who's working his collective tail off at 43 and who doesn't seem to care despite his three kids, who seems to have an entire focus on football, or would you rather have, you know, five winners on the defense?
All right, we
that
went
was
off
Jake's
the deep
best
end.
Call, though. You got to
it was
admit.
It was
and
a
that's
solid,
a great kerosene take
he
there
redeemed
at the end.
He redeemed himself many times. He bought himself a little extra. Was that too much, Nick? You tell us from the other side. How was that all right?
It was a little too much.
It was a little too much. Yeah, it was towards the end.
Off the rails there, but I like the theory. Wait till the election, then the McCourtys
are gonna
tap out in November. Might be my lead Monday. We respectably go to Dan and Cranston next on the phone lines. Hi, Danny.
What's up? Always tough to follow, Jake, isn't it?
I was going to say, Dan, I'm so sorry. This has happened before. Listen, they always say going on stage, you never want to follow kids or animals. You know, there's nothing you can do but sound great compared to Jake from Boston coming on the airwaves. So how you doing, guy?
I'm doing hanging in there. So real quick, I want to do a golf analogy. You guys play golf, right?
Not well, but yeah.
Sure do.
All right. So you know the weather forecast. It's going to be like 2 to 4 inches of rain, but you're still going to go out and play. Mm-hmm. I have a feeling that's what the NFL season is headed towards right now.
Yeah.
Can I hate to give you credit on this one, but throwing in the shoe now and just going to, say, see in the spring really seems to make sense.
Welcome aboard, and, dude.
Well, the thing is, I mean, how many Philly? What was the count on the Phillies now for COVID?
Not the Phillies. The Phillies, I don't know, actually. The Marlins, of course,
they
were 17.
No. The Phillies had four today.
The Phillies did? I thought they had no more. Okay, maybe I'm wrong on that.
No. There was a thing this morning.
The Cardinals had six today. The Phillies were clean.
Was that players or was that person?
Three staff, one player, and the other two are unreported.
So the season's been, 9 days old now, and they're up to, 30-something?
30 games postponed, yeah.
I mean, how many games are they? This is going to keep going on. I mean, they're going to be down to a 40-game season because they're never going to be make up all these games.
It could be a 50-game season, but we did have a bit of what I hope or I believe is an outlier. I think that the Miami Marlins incident is going to scare some teams straight because that was just some, I can't say out of character behavior, but that was certainly out of protocol behavior that I think put a lot of people at risk. And I only hope that enough guys can control their urges and behave themselves and get back in the groove, because that rattled a lot of cages, Dan. And if someone does it again, then I could see Manfred calling Tony Clark and saying, you know what, we're done. We'll see you next spring.
Well, that's where I'm going to go with the NFL. I'm going to pivot off that real quick. So Dana White said it works in a bubble. It won't work in a bubble, you know? And the thing is these athletes, okay, are the most narcissistic, I'm invincible people on the planet, 20-somethings. Right?
Yep.
Especially NFL players. I just don't, you can do all the protocols you want while they're in the, you know, in on the campus or whatever. Once they're out on the town or onto their own, you know, devices, they're basically just going to do everything that you expect that they were going to do. There's just no way over 4 or 5 months that these things aren't going to crash and burn. And in the NFL, you can't make up games. You know, if a team gets wiped out, what are you going to do? You're going to cancel the game. It's just, I hope it works, but I did, like I said, you're on the third hole, it starts to get cloudy. You know what I mean? And then it's like 18 holes, 18 weeks of NFL football. If they make the turn, I'll be amazed.
Well, last week was the 40th anniversary of Caddyshack. So
thank you, Dan.
This is the judge on playing through the rain and gets electrocuted on the 18th.
Well, the last thing we want to do is have him miss the putt on 18. Yeah. And rat farts!
I'd keep playing. The least likely, the most stunning to me is the Power 5 college football that keeps saying they have plans in place, they have schedules now, they're going to try to. There is no chance, right? Zero chance. The college football season finishes. No, after everything Dan is saying, 19-year-olds, 20-year-olds, no bubble, travel.
You think limited travel, conference play.
It's not limited travel. Notre Dame is playing an ACC schedule. They're going from South Bend to Boston to Miami to, I mean, it's just, there's get out of here. There's no chance.
So what kind of bubble could you put on with the Power Five conferences
you
in
can't.
College football?
You can't.
Unless you just create like.
Push it to the spring.
Unless you just create football U and have them all Zoom and put, you know. And by the way, Ben Volen, who joins us frequently on Saturdays in the 2 o'clock football primetime talk slot, got a lot of attention. You want to, maybe we should read his tweet on the other side when we come back after trending and see if people think that that actually was a good idea. Because I read it before it blew up and went viral.
Mm-hmm.
And his comment was, oh, it appears some mid-market teams have caught wind of my tweet. I'd like to get your take on it and see what people think of it on the other side.
Good tease. Let's get to trending. There is some Bruins news to report.
More of what you want to hear. Laird and Fitzy on EEI.
I know it's only two turns through, but Brian's inability to get into the fifth either time, does that make you rethink his spot in the rotation at this point?
Well, not really. I mean, who do we have that we can say that we're going to put in that's going to be better than Ryan? I go differently a little bit with him. I don't go as long as I will with Nate or with Martin. And that's planned ahead of time. We kind of know what we're going to do. So like today wasn't necessarily that I didn't think he could stay out there longer, but that's the plan that we have going in, that I knew what we were going to do.
Who do we have that I'm going to put in that you can say will be better than Ryan? That's the answer you want to hear from your manager.
The clearest indictment of the unusual off-season grocery shopping that Chaim Bloom, your new chief baseball operator, did for the Red Sox. Oh, boy.
I mean, if Erod's in, he's your fourth starter, I guess, and it's not so bad. But as such, he's their third, and they've got three spots in the rotation where they just have to make it up as they go. It is brutal. And how about Weber's numbers? I mean, you want to talk about like a soft-tossing junk ball is one thing, but he has zero strikeouts in two starts. No strikeouts, zero. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not capable of putting a guy away with a strikeout.
No.
Can't happen.
No one really is. Who's the strikeout guy?
Godley, who's in today. Seven strikeouts in four innings. Granted, it was kind of mop-up.
Was that mostly
duty.
People just laughing when they were swinging last weekend?
Oh, come on.
I'm rooting for Godley.
By the way, Renicki's sounding vibrant. I disagree with your assessment from earlier in the week.
I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to call him old piss and vinegar Ron. Who else would I put in?
But they're 3-5.
It's not like Herbert Hoover's available.
Somehow they'll get through this tough stretch. Volen's tweet was Red Sox related, and boy, was it. Did that light some fires?
Oof, this did not resonate well. People were ranting and raving and pissing and moaning all over baseball last night. Volen's tweet was, cancel the MLB season and do an 8-team super tournament involving the Red Sox, Yankees, Mets, Cubs, Cardinals, Astros, Dodgers, and Giants. Who says no? The world answered, Ben, everybody. That's who says no.
And to put the Red Sox in there ruined his argument right away. I mean, they are not in one of the eight super teams right now.
Oh, my gosh.
That's for sure.
I think it got like, this morning I looked, it was at like 2,500 retweets and just like people were furious. And the response was mostly like, listen to this idiot Boston reporter tell like, oh, who is this arrogant, you know, blowbag telling us what we should do with
Volen
baseball?
Volen is as loved locally as he is nationally.
Oh, my God.
He is beautiful.
And making a great name for himself. That sounds fun, but, like, the idea that other teams that would have a perfectly good shot at the World Series don't get one because we're going to put eight teams by name only in just for the hell of it for our entertainment, I'd pass on that.
But
especially with these Reds.
Hillman had a good suggestion this week. I agree with him. That they
take
should
August
just,
off?
Well, he's probably doing that. By the way, he was back in studio this week, which I know you were thrilled with, and it all went well as far as we know.
He seems healthy and happy.
Yeah, he's
hale and hearty.
And, by the way, headed to this weekend, drum roll please.
Yep.
Chatham, probably there now.
Really?
Site of the recent outbreak of wherever that was. Where was the Chatham outbreak?
Yeah.
So, good choice. I thought it was a good choice.
Great choice. Does Greg have, like, you know how there's a Sharktivity app where you can see where there are great white sharks all along the coast of New England? Does Greg have a Covetivity app? Or, does he have an outbreak app? Like, wherever there's a hot spot, that's where I'm going.
Well, 2 weeks ago, he went to Nantucket, and they have since had 50 cases there. Like they've legitimately had an outbreak since he left. So
he escapes, but there's a Hillman jinx and an outbreak wherever he goes.
Yeah, probably unrelated to his presence, I would guess. I mean, I can't think of any connection. So So enjoy that Monday when you're back in studio. Greg coming back off the Chatham trip. But anyway, Greg's idea was these teams should forfeit the games, particularly if they're found to have, in the Marlins case, gone to Magic City or wherever. Have they nailed it down yet? The baseball was doing a quote-unquote investigation,
yeah,
right?
Investigate. So, that makes
but just
think,
they should just cancel the games. Cancel them, but they're losses. They're all
going forward.
Marlins
they may have
losses.
To like if you have X number of COVID-related absences and you're the one who has to, you should have to take the L. You should forfeit the game because you can stagger and stage a couple of these 7-inning doubleheaders.
Yeah.
But you can only back end so many before, like, September is just every other day you're playing.
Right.
Or every day there's, like, 7 doubleheaders.
Or Wilbon on PTI's suggestion was they just go with winning percentage. So some teams are going to play however many they play, 45. Mm-hmm. Fine. If you're, you know, just go by winning percentage. Don't make the games up and just pick a, do the best you can to get through. If 5 teams don't play 20 games each, that's it. And you just, then you make the playoffs based off that. I can't argue with that. Some baseball better than none at this point, I guess, as long as these players are in. But as we told you, Lorenzo Cain has opted out. There's going to be a lot more guys now thinking, oh boy.
That's a talented baseball player that just opted out right there.
I mean, he's old. He's not like 34 or something. He's not a young guy anymore. But
I think he won a World Series back in 15 with the Royals. But who's the big star that really turns heads in baseball?
I mean, Trout, obviously.
Sure. But Ozuna, Yelich, who?
Scherzer.
Yep.
Kershaw.
Mm-hmm. Betts, by the way, how about that throw from right yesterday by Mookie?
Betts had a great night, but interesting about that.
What a throw.
If you look, he had a homer, he doubled, had an RBI single. He had that throw, which is incredible. We saw him do that here once, kind of from a similar spot.
It was an unbelievable. It was one of the 10 best throws I've ever seen.
But they were up 3-1 in the game, and they shifted Mookie to center. And the ball was crushed, but he took a bad route on it. It goes over his head, bases clearing double. So as good as his night was, like that gets lost in the.
That's Dave Roberts for you.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure he should be playing center. I mean,
no, he's a right fielder.
So I don't know what happened.
He's no JBJ, man.
Here, by the way, is the latest from Commissioner Rob Manfred. Carl Ravitch of ESPN says he talked to Manfred and quote, "We are playing. The players need to be better, but I am not a quitter in general, and there is no reason to quit now. We have had to be fluid, but it is manageable," end quote. That's after 4 more Cardinals tested positive today, and in all, there's 3 games postponed tonight due to COVID, so 6 teams not playing due to COVID, and the Marlins haven't played all week. Do you agree with them?
Mm.
Is it manageable? They're going to get through this?
It's still manageable. We haven't seen the worst of it, and let's hope it's not a we haven't seen the worst of it yet kind of scenario, Ken. It could get worse. If this is as bad as it gets, then we just have a rough start. We almost thank the Marlins the same way we thank Rudy Gobert. Like, okay, except Rudy Gobert, you know, led us to a shutdown.
Mm-hmm.
Ironic that he gets the first points and meaningful points the other night. But I think they're going to be okay. I think the Marlins will scare enough people straight with their behavior.
The players will be better behaved after
this. Well, you know why? You want to know why? Because who in their right mind, forget about having to, you know, take the L's or forfeit games or lose pay. Did you see what the Marlins have to do? They're not allowed to fly home. All the COVID positive Marlins.
Oh, they're on some bus or something?
They were put on the COVID Express and they're on a 17 and a half hour bus ride home from Philadelphia to Miami.
That'd be fun, actually.
That is miserable.
Stop at all the Civil War sites on the way.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Hey, kids, here's Antietam. Here's Bull Run. Here's Fort Sumter. Great.
I would love that trip. I've dreamed of making that
trip. Yeah, I would do that trip.
Start
I would
at Gettysburg and just head on down.
They're not renting an RV. They don't have a Winnebago.
Why not?
They're on a freaking bus.
Well, bus is good. Start the bus.
Pool of the pond for you.
all right. I do want to get a little COVID talk in, just a tiny bit. It relates to sports. Wiggy has been losing his mind about high school football. But there are a couple of latest in regards to Massachusetts fall sports and school, which I can't say are great news for Wiggy regarding it actually launching here in the fall.
And I did listen to the interview yesterday with Governor Sununu. I thought it was excellent. Could have done without the up talk segment, but that's fine. I thought Governor Sununu was great. He didn't take a victory lap. He didn't rub it in with Baker over their numbers. He did, you know, he ceded the fact that density issues are difficult, that Mass is doing the best they can. I know a lot of people don't think they are. You and I think that Massachusetts has done a pretty good job.
Yeah.
And friends of mine, by the way, who are from here and live out of state, especially those in California where they just feel like their heads are on fire, wish they had the likes of Charlie
Baker's
Baker.
Their hero.
Oh, God. They love Marty Walsh. The greatest job. Because, you know, they were all wondering if I was going to be sending my kids back to school or to preschool. And we will if schools.
If there's a vaccine.
If it happens. But, yeah, I thought Sununu did a good job yesterday, and I'm very anxious to see how the NASCAR event goes this weekend.
Oh, yeah. That's this weekend?
That's a big deal. Isn't that this weekend?
Oh, I thought it was not until later in August. I could be wrong. I'll check on that. But a little bit of high school sports, fall sports talk of the state of Massachusetts, then we'll get back into the Patriots top of the hour. It's Laird and Fitzy. You can reach us at 617-779-7937.
We're right back to it. This is Laird and Fitzy on EEI.
It is Laird and Fitzy with you until 4 o'clock, and then Brian Barrett's got you at that time. We got hockey on today. NBA launched games that matter yesterday. Celtics, good game. Interesting to the end. I'm sure fans were not thrilled with the officiating if you're a Seas fan. But
sure
we talked
about
that earlier. We have Patriots camp opening up, and they have basically 2 weeks of what Belichick's calling rookie mini camp. And then they'll start more into the stuff that you could recognize in a few weeks. And the Red Sox tonight, 7:07. On the Shaw's and Star Market WEI Red Sox Radio Network.
Looking forward to cracking a fresh one and sitting back in the yard at the Cape House, maybe throwing some tips on the grill and listening to Castigs and Flemball and company do the game tonight. Yanks and Sox. By the way, the event is tomorrow.
The NASCAR event?
At the New Hampshire Motor Speedway, the NASCAR Cup Series at New Hampshire. The race is tomorrow.
And they get 10,000 fans or something in there?
Like 12,000, yeah, 2:30.
Pretty cool. And good news with the Bruins, they got Andre Kasha back, although he's not going to play tomorrow. Bad news was Tuukka Rask was out because he, quote-unquote, wasn't feeling well. We're not sure whether that's COVID-related or not. Now, I promised some COVID talk. Now, this is not, none of this is good news, and people are going to hate me because I'm like Mr. Negativity. But
Well, no,
this,
it's reality, Ken.
This is reality.
Negativity,
right.
It's reality. You and I traffic in this weird space called reality.
Okay. Here are three stories that are not good for the return of fall sports, I would say, and or school, just in general, in the fall, which we think, don't you get the vibe, I don't know what you've been told, your kids are of school age, but it seems like the hybrid model is going to be happening in most Massachusetts schools, right?
Well, we don't know. We don't know at all.
Oh,
because
you don't know?
Things
okay.
were trending based off of a Zoom call we had in the Newton Public Schools recently that they were going to go back. It was going to be an all-in. And now the teachers' union says, So... you have to think that the hybrid model is going to be the best case scenario or what they're going to agree on. They'll probably have to meet in the middle. We've even discussed with some other parents trying to create some sort of like rotating academic pod system.
Where well, people like, have been doing that. Yeah.
Yeah, like where we like
underground schools.
My kid gets along with or the parents get along. Maybe we have them come over one day.
Have them watch S-Pats fans say and just teach them up that way.
All right, Danielle, enough with your cheap shots. She's still dead to me, by the way.
That was a great line.
Yeah, it was a great line.
But sorry to cut you off. So anyway,
we've discussed some contingency plans on creating like a little system in case we're just not happy. Like I got to tell you, Ken, the kids cannot stand Zoom learning. It sucks.
Yeah, well, I can't.
It is the worst.
Bad for teachers. Hate it too. I'm sure. No one's paying attention. All right, so here's the three bits of news. Now, first, in Massachusetts, the numbers are trending up a little bit. I think we're up to over 2.1% positivity rate, which is not terrible, but it's certainly not where it was at its best. I think New York's under 1%. And the governor yesterday, Falmouth, house party in Chatham, which we briefly discussed.
Mm-hmm. Hope Greg's going right there.
Chelmsford party, Wrentham gathering, prom in Cohasset attended by 90, cluster at the Bay State Medical Center, and a football camp in Weymouth, which I don't know what the details are really, but it was... unapproved football camp of some kind. So that's going to be held against the sport of football in general.
In general,
isn't it?
Yes.
It's just going to be like, oh, great. We had a football camp. We had an outbreak. Mm-hmm. This is why fall sports can't happen.
But you guys thought you'd get a head start in case high school football happened this fall. Had a little football camp. Whoops. And this just, not just high school football. How about football in general?
Well, I mean, the NFL doesn't care. They're going to power through. Maybe college would take notice, but, you know, it's some kind of a high school camp where you actually had people test positive. Item number two that's not good news. More than 200 kids tested positive for coronavirus after attending a Georgia summer camp. Now, it was an overnight camp.
Was that a Florida-Georgia State line camp, as Wiggy would call it?
Kemp down there on June 11th allowed campers and workers to attend overnight camps if they got a negative COVID test within 12 days of starting. Okay, so they went back. Mm-hmm. Camp went from June 21st to the 27th. 500 campers were 17 and under. This is per a CDC report. June 24th, teenage staff member gets chills, test positive. Campers began to be sent home that day, but they didn't close until 3 days later. 200 children tested positive out of the 600 that were there. Children between the ages of 6 and 10 had the highest attack rate, 51%, followed by teens of ages 11 and 17 at 44%. Okay, so kids are getting it. Now they're not dying. People will say, well, you know, what's happening to the kids? They're fine, but they're getting it. Then, finally, third bit of bad news, study by The Lancet and another one in Italy, finding that kids, young children, not only transmit the disease, but may be major drivers of the pandemic. This study out of Chicago says that kids 5 years and younger who develop mild to moderate symptoms have 10 to 100 times as much SARS-CoV-2 in the nasopharynx as older children and adults. And the kids from 5 to 17 have equal amounts of much of the virus as do adults in general.
As the proud parent of a 3-year-old who has next to no idea how to cover his sneezes, my kid gets it, comes home. If we do send him to preschool or we try to socialize him even just a bit this fall, one sneeze, House Stevens, a.k.a. Tuca's Shed, kaputs. Dunsky.
I mean, I honestly, I hope that study is faulty. I mean, I don't know. It's published in The Lancet. The other one is awaiting peer review in Italy, so it could be flawed. Who knows? I mean, I don't know.
But 10 to 100 times more COVID SARS-2
in kids 5 and under.
In the nasopharynx area?
I mean, just
hey, by the way, everyone check off when you thought we would get to the phrase nasopharynx in today's Laird and Fitzy.
I know people hate the bad news, and the people hate that it's a sports station, you dip into COVID talk, but it's going to affect high school sports here,
correct.
I think.
Correct. And then by proxy.
But then again, Connecticut's going ahead with it, and so is New Hampshire. So they're going to be guinea pigs,
but
I guess.
But it goes back to what Sununu was talking yesterday. They didn't have, this was the, I think Sununu referred to it as the tip of the spear for a while. It was an absolute hotspot. They don't have the population density issues that Massachusetts faces. There are suburbs in Massachusetts that have more population than cities in New Hampshire or Connecticut.
Mm-hmm. All right. Bradford has texted me 5 times and said, I'm on with Barrett. Thanks for including me in the promotion. So it's Barrett and Bradfoe, 4 to 6:30 today. Sorry, Rob.
It's Airbnb. We're calling it Airbnb.
I like it.
B&B on the air.
Now, something Reese told us earlier this hour, I have to pick not a fight with, but mm-hmm. I disagree with.
Okay.
Okay? I want to replay one bit of the Mike Reese interview, and we'll reset the Patriots discussion. If you missed the news earlier today, 7th opt-out, 7, Marquise Lee out. Although he was not a lock, Reese, to make the team,
mm-hmm.
which is a good point. And he believes the McCourties are in. That's great news.
Good to hear.
Nonetheless, there are 7 guys that sort of blindsided Belichick there and are not going to be on the roster. We will discuss.
7!
It's Laird and Fitzy on WEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.